Hi, everyone. It's Jerry. And by the way, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and also hit the like button. It helps us and we're glad to continue. We just want to see how much you really like us.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Let's go for it for real.
All right. Welcome, everybody. And here we are back at another episode of Father Knows Something. We're so glad you are here. Holly did not make the show tonight. She's with her mommy. She comes home to visit on Wednesday. And how was everybody's week?
Good. Just busy. Busy, busy, busy.
So Holly didn't, she chose not to be here?
No, her mommy chose for her to be with her mommy. But she's doing good still, guys. So she'll be back on Wednesday. Maybe we'll sneak an episode or a quick flash.
So if she could choose, she would be here.
Oh, absolutely. Who would want to not be here with us?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I came across the city to be here tonight.
That's true. You came home very dirty.
I came home dirty and early.
Looked like you work on a farm.
I was working on the plane, like the tattoo. The plane.
I just picture you rolling around on the floor at the hangar.
I was rolling on the floor.
Basically, looked like you did, yeah.
I was underneath it, and I was running all new wire for the antennas. I'm getting very excited. And as much as Morgan can get me away from that thing to slow me up, she's dead on it. She's trying. So on that note, let's go. What's the theme tonight?
Basically, sometimes in life, we encounter situations that may require a pivot.
A pivot? Meaning like a job change.
Sure.
Yeah, life change.
A life change.
There is a concept going around right now. It's called the pivot queen. And so it's people that are just masters at pivoting. You know, something gets put in their path, they pivot. They mm-hmm. don't like what they're doing, they pivot. They're trying to get a couch up the stairs, pivot, pivot.
Got it.
You've never seen Friends, apparently. Just, you know, in honor of Matthew Perry, there's a little Friends moment there.
I watch Friends. I love it. I don't remember the word. I don't
Ross
remember the line.
Ross bought a new couch and you have Matt Perry and Jennifer Aniston there, which their characters, Chandler and Rachel.
Right.
And they're trying to get Ross's couch up the stairs and he's screaming, pivot, pivot, pivot.
I don't remember.
Justin's going to pull it up.
Okay.
It's a great scene and
all their scenes are great scenes.
This is true. This is very true. So today is all about the pivot.
I'm sure you're familiar with pivoting.
Well, when Morgan bought those big desks and I had to get it down a staircase in a building that...
Pivot? Pivot?
I definitely...
Pivot?
poor Jesus and I, we were very busy doing pivots.
Oh, man.
That guy is the best, isn't he?
Here we go.
So that's what we're doing today.
And that was done on a set.
Mm-hmm.
They built a set with that staircase. That's amazing.
They must have. Okay, ready?
I am ready.
Let's do it.
Are you guys ready? Say ready. Ready. Louder.
Reminds me of like Dora the Explorer.
Oh, my
Blue's God. Clues when they'd interact with you. Yeah.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Number one. Hi, Father Knows Something fam. I really hope you guys can help me out in my current situation. I, 21 female, have recently been taking the LSAT in hopes of getting into law school. In December of 2022, I graduated with my bachelor's degree in criminal justice with the intention of going to law school. I have wanted to be a lawyer for the past 4 years and have always wanted to do something in the criminal justice field. But the more I learned about the justice system in the U.S. and all of the shortcomings, I began to look for other areas of law I would be interested in. I have taken the LSAT 3 times, not getting a score that is something I would be proud of or law schools would be interested in. I have always been a gifted student and excelled in academic aspects, But this test is something I cannot excel in no matter how much I have studied. I am burned out with this test and am not interested in taking it again for at least another 6 months to a year. I applied to a law school for the fall 2023 cycle and got waitlisted with an ultimate rejection. With all this being said, I have applied once more to the same law school with an LSAT score lower than the expectations set by the law school. I have also been working for a grocery store chain since my senior year of high school in 2020. I enjoy working for this company and excel in my responsibilities there, but have never been promoted to anything more than an associate because I was expected to go off to law school within X number of months. However, my bosses really love the work I do and have mentioned over and over how they would love to promote and grow within the company. This current week, I sat down with both my store manager and the district manager for my company and discussed my interest in moving up, if I were to not get into law school this next cycle. They both were delighted to hear that and ecstatically expressed their interest in this news. I was told that there would be a new position for a floating assistant store manager for my store and another, in which I would work for both locations. Through this position, I would be trained to get my own store to manage within 2 years. There's a new location opening up that would be drivable from my house. This new opportunity has only blurred my future plans of going to law school and journey to become a lawyer. I really love this company and how they treat their employees, and honestly, could see myself pursuing a career here. Both of my bosses made it clear that the store manager position does not have to be my only option with this company, and has lots of opportunities inside the company. One of them even being working abroad if I really wanted to. I'm sorry if I rambled too much, but would really appreciate any and all advice I could get. Thank you guys. I really love both FKS and THT.
This was a great write-in. And I can relate to her. And the thing is that if you were in front of me, I would say, what is it about law that's attracting you? That would be my first right. thought. Because, you know, going to be the store manager and being a lawyer, they're different, totally different concepts. You know, I like law because I like stories. And I like being able to take the story and relate what happened in a case. I mean, if you've seen the movie, the brand new movie came out, The Burial. An amazing movie, very well produced, very well done. And here's a guy that was, you know, a personal injury lawyer. And this kid comes out of law school and he says, I got the lawyer that I think we should go with it. And he already had a strategy and some of the thoughts. And if it wasn't for his research and his tenaciousness to find out how to apply, you know, some of the stories and some of the smoking guns that he found, they would have lost the case. They were actually on the path to walk away from the case, minutes. And before you know it, he took this case out of nowhere that they really built out of nothing. And they got one of the largest verdicts of the time and really did put this company eventually out of business. So when I hear what you're doing and your frustration with the bar, the LSAT, I know that it has different elements. And we had a neighbor that was studying for the LSAT, and I went and listened to some of the questions and, you know, it's all about process, thinking how to process the information. And it's tough, but there's training for it. And there are people that can, you know, work with you to, you know, help you open your mind to be able to take some of those questions. And that part of the bar may not be a problem for you. It might be a different element in the bar.
Well, the LSAT is what it is. That's also recently changed. Like the LSAT had a big component with logic games in it.
Mm-hmm.
And from
that's
my,
what I'm talking about.
From my understanding, the logic games have been taken out. So if you took LSATs, you know, years ago and that wasn't your style of, you know, how you can apply knowledge or whatever, the LSAT is changing, so it might be better for you now.
And I really I would hate to see you always reflect later something I should have done. That's the toughest thing. you know, if this is something that you really, really want to do and you love writing, you love reading. I mean, I don't know if you've actually gone to a law firm and clerked in a law firm and have done paralegal work, if you can do that. There's different ways to get into it and work your way to really make it part of your core. The market, the supermarket will give you great experience if you want to be a manager, but you want to be a lawyer, go to a law firm and start really digesting what they do and how they tick, because it's a whole different thing. A lot of people come, you know, go to law school, become lawyers, and you know what? They hate it. Mm-hmm. They really hate it. So you have to decide really where you want to be with it. And I think just going to work in a firm and learning what it is to do research and get into all that and learn what it is to write, that is the most important thing to really start with there. And then decide, you know, where kind of law, where you want to go. And is this really something that you want to do?
I think first and foremost, you need to go get hands-on experience and see the inner workings of a law firm, of what it takes to be a lawyer. Something that OT school required is shadow hours. I had to go in and see what it was to be an OT. And working at, you know, this grocery store is amazing experience. It's got so much room for you to grow and advance and have a career, not just a job. But I think you should evaluate everything. Go work in a law firm. And there's other career opportunities within the legal field that don't involve just being a lawyer. Like Alejandra went through this. She thought she wanted to be a lawyer. Her goal was to be a lawyer for the UN, her whole thing. So she took LSAT after LSAT. She worked in all of these legal firms as secretaries and then as, you know, assistants to these huge lawyers. And she did the research and helped with them with case law and all this stuff. And she saw within that field, even a lot of her friends that had become lawyers at that point, I don't want to do this. And so she's now working as like a recruiter. So she places lawyers at different law firms. Mm-hmm. And she makes great money and she's got a really rewarding career that can go, you know, advance in every direction and she loves it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different options, but I think you need to get some experience in that field before you, you know, you decide.
And see what it is about it that you like.
Yeah, there's a book. It's from a law professor and Alejandra read it and it was actually a big part, I think, about what encouraged her not to go to law school. And the book is titled, Don't Go to Law School Unless. And then it's a law professor's inside guide to maximizing opportunity and minimizing risk. Because that's the other thing. Don't do it unless you're 100% sure and you want to be a lawyer and you know what it is to be a lawyer, because it's expensive. And to just go and get a law degree, yeah, it might be valuable info, but you don't need it.
I had an uncle that was a businessman. He had a law degree. He was part of the JAG Corps. And after he got out of the Navy, he never practiced law again, even though he always maintained his bar dues.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the golden age of law. And this professor talks about it in the book, how like the golden age of like getting to be a lawyer, like mm-hmm. how much it costs for school and then how much you make when you become a lawyer. That golden age is kind of past. It's now extremely expensive. You don't make a lot out of school. You have to grind. And very few lawyers ever get to that top, you know, cream of the crop mm-hmm. in pay. So I don't want to say like leave the grocery store, because that is, you know, great job security and you've worked your ass off there. But you got to, you know, see the inside scoop of things. And
I don't want to paint a picture that it's the worst job in the world. I mean, I do have friends that have become lawyers and they couldn't get a job for $35,000 a year. And I've met, and I have family that are became lawyers and they're doing very, very well. And they're at the top of the food chain. We had a write-in a couple of years ago or a year ago for a cousin of mine. Mm-hmm. And he is now going to Emory. He is in his second year at Emory now.
Probably
second year. He's loving it. He thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread, and he's glad he took that path.
Yeah.
So it's just, again, you have to really identify what it is about it that you want, why you want to do it, and And as you get into it, you'll find the interest of where you want to, where you're going to position yourself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's shortcomings with every job and every area. And I know you mentioned like the criminal justice system being messed up, and it's like, well, okay, we need good lawyers, maybe like yourself in the future to fix it. Mm-hmm. It is bad, but it's getting better. I mean, there's so many people that are getting exonerated these days because of new technology and things like that. So you could be one of the good ones too. So don't let the LSAT or not getting into your first choice school deter you if it's what you really want.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I think the whole deal here is the why. Because with an ideal outcome, to be confident and sure in my decision and live a happy and fulfilling life, you know, that lends itself to, you know, not, it's almost beyond the pros cons type of worksheet. It's really in the why. Why do you want to do this or that? And I think a little experience in both, or adding the experience of the law mm-hmm. and working in an office or something, will help.
You know, the one thing
I'm
sitting here with a couple people that are interesting in their own way. Now, law school was not part of their decision. But the one thing that they do is they do something that they love. And it's not going to work. It's working your passion. So when you're working your passion, you don't mind so much working 12, 14 hours a day. It's not an 8-hour day. It's a 12 or 14-hour day. It's who you are. That's the important thing, that when you do whatever it's going to be, that you really, really are enjoying the experience and the ride. That's really what it's all about. So whatever your choice will be, make sure that you like the experience and you love the ride.
That's right.
Okay. Number two.
So number two, I'm scared. My dad just got diagnosed with cancer, and from the doctor's reactions, it doesn't sound good. I don't want to lose my dad. I'm only 30. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm in shock. I'm happy that we get time, even though we don't know how much. It still feels like 20 years were stolen from us, though. My issue today is I'm meant to get married next June. It's a 3-hour drive from here. If he's alive, is a 3-hour drive going to be too far for him to come? My mom will be able to drive him. Do I change the location? We've already paid for that and food. $2,000 we can't get back. We're not good financially right now since our cats were just sick, and that was $6,000. Obviously, money doesn't matter much in this situation, but I feel like we should plan for this now. I'm scared, and I want my dad to be at my wedding. Is that selfish?
I know why you did this one.
I don't know if I picked this one, actually. Justin did.
Did you?
Yeah, it wasn't me.
The answer is, you're not being selfish. I think that no matter what will happen, if your dad's around, and I would imagine he's going to be, because it takes an awful lot today to take him down. Cancer is really being fought on many, many levels. And if it's newly found, you can be very successful and you don't have to think the worst. It will be what it will be. And I hate to say it that way, but if he can make it, nothing's going to stop it. A team of horses will not stop that guy from getting that 3-hour trip to come to your wedding. And even it has to come a couple of days early, or figure it out in stages.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if this were me, yeah, I would be pulling a pivot. I would be doing some sort of small private ceremony to make sure like you can get married with your dad there. It sounds like you're just finding out, you know, where he's at stage-wise, what treatment options there are. But I look at my mom's husband and no, he wouldn't have been able to make a 3-hour drive. Mm-hmm. It just, that's the reality you might be facing. But I would gather all your info, because the doctor could say, oh, you know, nope, it's stage 3, 3 to 5 years. Well, that's what Rod got. And 3 to 5 years turned into 2 years.
How many years do they give his dad right now? What did they say?
We have no info on their dad's stage or where they're at.
When's the wedding? That's what I was.
Wedding is next June. So it's December. You're six months out.
Away.
So depending on what information you've gotten, you can go from there. But yeah, I mean, pivoting a little bit and making sure that your dad is at your wedding, that you know, there's other options. Like Justin and I have even talked about just having a wedding at a small courthouse and then the big family party. Like
They can do a quick elopement.
Yeah, there's other options. Like, and a courthouse, like intimate thing mm-hmm. doesn't cost like a lot if, you know, more than 100 something bucks. Mm-hmm. So I think you just got to prioritize. And like, if your number one priority is dad at wedding and there's limited time, it's very unclear. Courthouse, small ceremony on a beach. I don't know, whatever that looks like for you. And then if you can make the 3-hour drive one away, you get the best of both worlds.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, you have a little time to make this decision, it sounds like, over the next, at least the next few weeks, if not the next couple months, to see what the diagnosis fully is. And then from there, see how he progresses over the next little bit of time. And then if you have to make an adjustment, there's a lot of room to
mm-hmm. pivot.
Like, don't be scared to pivot.
There's a lot of, you know, you don't need to decide right this moment, even though I feel like it would feel that way. Like, oh, we got to pick our date. We have to have our date locked in, but then this and then that. But, you know, you can, all that, you can
always pull an audible. Yeah. Like, don't be scared of the pivot. Have your main plan, but like, yeah, if he's not feeling well and chemo's not working and radiation's not working, or, you know, we have no idea what the treatment plan even looks like. Mm-hmm. Is it surgical? Like, there's so many what ifs here. So I think you just kind of got to be open and plan for what you really want for your wedding, for the overall picture. But
yeah,
if having your dad there when you get married is a big thing, then pull an audible.
You know, I've always run my life by saying one thing to everybody: be fluid.
You have to be. Life is so unpredictable.
Be fluid. You know, if there's a gap, be fluid enough to fill that gap.
Yeah.
If you got to go around the corner, just go with the water. Go with the flow. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So keep us in touch and let us know how you're doing.
Yeah. Wish you the best and hope health for your dad.
Yeah, definitely. Keep us posted.
Number 3.
Dear Father Knows Something gang.
We are a gang.
With Holly.
We're a gang with everybody.
Holly's kind of the lead member. I've been a devoted listener to your show and have always found your advice and discussions to be incredibly insightful. I'm writing to you today because I'm in a situation that I believe might resonate with your experiences. I, 26 female, have been with my boyfriend, 26 male, for the past 2 years. We plan to get engaged in the next year/year and a half. However, the issue is that we aren't living together yet, which is mostly because of me. I know I want to live with my partner before I get married and even engaged, but I am finding it hard to leave my parents. I've been with them since I graduated from college, and we are incredibly close. I genuinely cherish the time I spend with them, and I'm afraid that once I move out, that chapter of my life will be over forever. I recognize that at some point I need to take that step and begin a life with my boyfriend, but the prospect of leaving my family is scary. It's tough to let go of the life I'm living now, knowing that it'll be something I will never get back. My boyfriend is incredibly supportive and understanding, and we won't be moving far. I know that you, Morgan and Jerry, have lived together for a while before taking the next step to moving in with Justin, so I'm curious to know how both of you managed that transition. Thank you all for your consistent love and support for your listeners. I genuinely appreciate any insight and advice you can offer.
You're on, Star.
I mean, we haven't moved out yet, but no, this is something I think Justin and I have talked a lot about, is like, we mostly live here, even though Justin has his place. He's here 3-4 nights a week. So it is hard. It's kind of sad where it's like, oh my God, I am going to be sad not having my dad be able to cook me dinner all these nights. And
yes, things like that. Be her bitch.
That's not at all what it is. But it is like, it is nice to be taking a step forward and like getting our own space and having dishes that are clean and not thrown to the side and just wet and full of dish soap. And, you know, there's all these things. So it's a tough change and it's sad, but you get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm ready. And I don't know if I would have been ready 2 years ago, but now I'm ready. So it you get there, but just because you're moving out doesn't mean like a bunch of stuff has to change. You can go over there for dinner weekly. You can have them over for dinner weekly. Like, there's ways to interact. And I don't know if you're moving far, if that is a part of this.
Not moving far.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to change. You want to go sleep over at your parents' house? Go sleep over there. Your boyfriend's out of town one weekend? Go stay with them for the weekend.
And we'll probably come, you know, crash the party down here.
Yeah.
I know that when, like, you know, I think about, you know, going to Amy's for a night or going somewhere else, I'll just, you know, first, my first thought is Justin coming over? Because I know Morgan doesn't like to be by herself.
I do not.
So I don't abandon her for that. But what's really, I do really do think is really important, and this is for you, and you guys are going to experience this now starting January. A couple has to live together in their own environment and start seeing what it is to be a couple, especially before you say, I do. Get the full grip of what it is to work together.
Yep.
and manage, you know, each other's lives with one another. So I am absolutely encouraging you to get away from mom and dad, grow, start the life with your guy, and drop in and see your parents and play Catan. You guys are welcome to come play Catan anytime.
Yeah.
I have the bigger game table. You're going to take my table, so you know we'll have to.
I feel like you'll be coming up a lot.
Yeah,
too.
You'll probably be coming
up. I'm sure
up.
Will.
We're going to have chicken, so our house is going to be a lot cooler.
Yeah. I'm sure that I will be going both ways and between your home and our home. So I'm excited about the whole thing, very much so.
I mean, even for you guys, like generally the common thing is you have 19 years with your kids. Mm-hmm. The first 18, they're living with you. And the rest of the time you see them in your life makes up the one extra year.
Right, but I didn't have them for I didn't have her for about 10 years.
Yeah, he moved to LA when I was in eighth grade, so.
Yeah, I just think generally after it's like 18 and move out from mm-hmm. being home,
yeah,
classically.
Yeah, so any time after is bonus, yeah.
Generally, the amount of time you see your parents adds up to one more year.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a scary thing from a child's perspective and a parent's perspective, but that's kind of the natural progression of life. Mm-hmm. And I know, Jerry, you talk a lot about, you know, getting out there on your own and making your own life and
spreading your wings.
Yeah, not
living
for your parents, not living for anyone else but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think, I mean, the relationship won't change. It helps. It makes everything great all around mm-hmm. because you'll be progressing in your life and feeling good about that.
Mm-hmm.
You won't lose the relationship with them. Sure, you're not living under the same roof, but
it's different.
The dynamics don't necessarily change.
It's a positive, different experience.
Yeah.
Well, and I think multi-generational households are kind of coming back in. I know they've never gone away for certain cultures, but I think here in the United States, it's maybe more so out of necessity because housing is so unaffordable. But multi-generational households are becoming more prominent. And I think like you could look at this as like, hey, this is just a little gap. You know, they might need help down the road where they need me to live with them and help take care of them. And like, or, you know, you could put a casita in your backyard and they live in your backyard. Like this could just be the middle section where
yeah.
you're starting your own journey with your partner and maybe a family and things like that. But it doesn't have to be the last time you live with your parents. Like there could be a long-term play. And some people are even like building compounds with their family.
Like, my dad always wanted that.
I saw this one person that they're building a bunch of tiny homes on a plot of land for their whole, mm-hmm. for like all their kids. So each kid, when they turn 18, gets a starter house. And they're just
That's
living in this
cool.
little compound. Yeah. So make your life what you want it. If you don't want to move out with your parents, you don't have to move out. How old were they again?
26 and 25?
Yeah.
No, 26 and 26.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be 30 by the time I move out. You got a couple more years if you want it. You're good. No rush.
Go.
Well, the thing that's standing out is like I absolutely want to live with my partner before getting married and even engaged.
Yeah, and that's kind of
the timeline.
Now's the time. It's worth a shot. Honestly, you could live together, not like it. Realize you don't like him and you're right
back
in. You're right back in. You can always move home. It's always easy to move home. It's or just easier weird. To move home than out.
I find it really weird when your childhood bedroom starts to change and it's completely different, or it's taken over by three other kids. Yeah, but I just think that's when you start to really feel like, yep, I'm out.
Go watch the movie.
Because you're totally separated.
Watch the movie Failure to Launch. Good movie.
I absolutely
think that you'll be just fine, and go give it a shot and be brave and go forward and start this life with him. And your parents are going to be very proud of you, and they'll be there for you. Mom is always going to be there to have you go home before you go home. You can stop in at mom and, you know, do some baking, and then it's time to go home. Go see your guy. Be with your man. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Next one, number four.
Okay, number four. Hi, Jerry, Justin, Morgan, and Holly. I'm a first-year graduate student in a speech-language pathology program. I joined a couple of Facebook groups with other SLPs in my area, and I'm feeling really discouraged. A lot of the people are complaining about low salaries, high caseloads, and feeling burnt out from this career. I've wanted to be an SLP and worked really hard after changing career paths to get to where I am. I'm in an online program and take classes part-time while working. But honestly, I feel exhausted doing this, and I'm really questioning, is it worth it? The thing is, I don't know what I would do otherwise. My fiance, let's call him Dan, recently lost his job, and it's been a stressful time trying to support him while he navigates a career change because he wasn't feeling fulfilled. I guess what I would like advice on is, should I go through grad school and have speech as a backup option, or should I pick a new career completely? Ideal outcome, we both feel fulfilled in our careers and get out of debt. Additional info, my fiance went to college but dropped out his final year and didn't get a degree. He's recently been vocal about regretting that decision, but doesn't want to go back to school.
I go back to saying, make sure what you're doing it because it's a passion for you. And you feel the reward, not of the money, but of the experience. The money will always come. If you master what you're doing and you love what you're doing, you're going to be really great at what you're doing. And people are going to notice that. And that's going to help drive your income. It may not be there in the beginning, but it will eventually, I do believe, will always get there. So, and even if you get into a fixed area where your incomes are locked, if you love what you're doing, it's not going to really still even matter. You'll learn to live within that budget, or you'll find some other ways of doing additional work, or the guy your boyfriend will flourish in what he's doing. You guys will make it. You'll build a life. But never do a job because of the money. Do a job because you'll love it.
Yeah, and I will just say, as someone that has joined many, many OT Facebook groups and like alternative careers for OTs, I feel like I'm really glad I didn't start looking at those Facebook page until I was like done with OT school, because it probably would have really fucked me up mentally too, because, you know, you have a lot of people on there kind of saying what I said about the lawyer stuff, where they're like, the golden age of rehab is gone, blah, 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 blah. And you're going to find that. But I think you have to ask yourself, why did you want to be a speech pathologist, speech language pathologist? Like, because you wanted to help people, because it's rewarding, you know, you got to ask yourself the why. And you're already a year in. If it's a master's, you have another year left. Granted, you wouldn't take on another year of debt. But I look at the speech therapists that I worked with at the hospitals, and they loved their jobs. If you want a really good area of SLP work, you go work in an acute care setting in a hospital. You're going to be doing stroke, swallow evals all day, every day. It's fun. You get there at 8. You leave at 4:35. You don't take any work home with you. Like, and if you want to just do it lightly, you go work per diem. But that's if you determine you want to be a speech pathologist. But don't let the Facebook groups scare you, because yeah, there's low salaries, but there's high salaries in certain areas. And if you work somewhere for a year and then you're willing to do travel speech, you can make a boatload of money. And looking at how the healthcare system is going to change, we already don't have enough workers to replace what we need So the demand for healthcare workers is going to shoot through the roof. Like, it's going to be pretty drastic. So,
and you also have to look at, I mean, there are so many different areas in speech pathology and therapy.
There's so many. I mean, you could work in pediatrics, working with kids with stutters or, you know, autism, and finding alternative communication methods via like technology. There's so much to do. My favorite is acute care. I think the swallow studies with barium are the most interesting thing. And like watching all the mechanics of someone swallowing on an X-ray, insane. I really, if I could suction trachs, I would have gone the speech route, but suctioning trachs, I couldn't do it. So that's it. It made me throw up. So it's a really cool career though. And I think.
So the one thing that you said that I really grasped, and I really absolutely agree with you on, don't let everyone else drive what you're doing.
No. If you wanted to be a speech pathologist because you loved it, do it. And
pay no attention to the crowd.
Well, and they even say here, I'm really questioning if it is worth it. The thing is, I don't know what I would do otherwise.
Well, that's, now she's settling.
Well, it's like, but are you settling, or was your heart set on this? And now because you're an overthinker, maybe you're letting all these other people psych you out.
Is it wouldn't or couldn't?
Because
I say I couldn't do anything else, even though I'm in a very unpredictable, volatile, like I'm in an industry that most people would tell you never to get in, but I couldn't do anything else.
This was your passion.
So it's not that there wouldn't be anything else for me. It's that, no, I couldn't go change and do something else.
Yeah.
So when you find that, that's when you know, like, this is what I'm here for.
And I have done, you know, job pivots, very much so. I mean, from what I originally started doing to what I do today, there's a pivot or two. I think it's like.
But you can connect them all. They all fit in the same little bubble.
I guess, but
like they're all you being creative. They're all you, like you're running the show. Mm-hmm. You can make the big decisions and control where to take it, and you're not answering to anybody. And I think
that part
you've always been in a similar
part is
world.
All similar, yes.
Though what you take and do with your creativity has changed over time.
Yes.
Because I think we all think of the classic American dream. And of course you're gonna have the people that like, I have to get a Ferrari, I have to have a house with 20 bedrooms in it, and I need like $100 million in the bank, and that's American dream. But really, I think if you figure out what you want and love to do, and you can live comfortably doing that,
the other
I think
matter.
That's the American dream, because you'll be so fulfilled by what you do. Also, not struggling financially, you live a comfortable life. If you can marry those two and figure that out, that's the American dream.
I agree.
Yeah. Did you know the number one place to achieve the American dream is now in Denmark?
Yeah.
Really? Do they call it the Denmark dream?
No, they still call it the American dream.
Really?
But yeah, it is really interesting. I would determine, is speech your passion? And if it is, don't let the Facebook groups get you down. Also, I will say, as someone that did their grad program in person, I cannot imagine the challenge of doing a program like this online. So if that is also getting to you, like, try meeting up with classmates and get yourself a good study group and other people to interact with. But you should start doing like your internships at various places.
That's what I was going to.
Really aim for acute care if you can. I would do acute care in peds. I think you'll get the most broad experience and overview on the career.
And then watch the movie, The King's Speech.
That one was a good one. But yeah, determine if you're going into it for the right reason. And then if not, screw the debt.
Nothing,
screw the student debt. Don't do it.
Nothing's better than personal reward from a job. It's amazing. Okay, we're going to have number five. We're going to squeeze one more in here.
There's one more.
Number five. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
I've been dating a man since October 2021. At the very beginning stages of us talking, he was diagnosed with gastrointestinal lymphoma. We tried very hard to make it work and have seen each other when we could, but through treatments and everything else, he has moved home to live with his parents. Good news. What we do know is he will get better.
Good.
bad news. We work so hard to try and make us work, but it just seems like it's getting harder and harder. He's not able to show up for me like he wants to. I know that's difficult for him and obviously doesn't always feel fair to me. Because of this, we've decided to call a timeout on us, and it's quite possibly the worst heartbreak I've had in my life. People always say if it's the wrong time, it's the wrong person. But what do you do when it's this circumstance? We both so badly want to be together, but life is just not lining up. We still talk and are trying to figure out boundaries that are safe for both of us. I want to leave the door open, but I also know I can't wait on him forever. Do I stop talking to him altogether?
Well, it sounds like you guys are friends. You care for one another. Cutting yourselves off from your friendship, you know, I don't know. You know, your guys are going to have to decide if you can, you know, conduct yourselves and enjoy your friendships and not worry about the intimacy side, or if that if you guys date somebody else. You may find out very quickly that the thought of being with somebody else is not your interest. And you get there and you say, this guy is just not this person. And I don't care if I'm married to this person or not, but I definitely want to have this person be a part of his life every day. And that's where I'm at today. So I say, you know, go organically. I mean, everyone hates when I say that. Don't penalize yourselves. If you guys can respect each other as friends and you can have your friendship, I don't know why you can't. It might take some readjustment. I mean, especially if you are going to actively date, it might take a period where you guys can kind of heal a little bit and just not talk to each other as much. But you know, it sounds like you guys really do love one another and you have a strong bond. So that's something that only you can figure out. I can't tell you that one.
Yeah, it's tough because when in a relationship do you transition from life being able to take you apart with certain circumstance mm-hmm. or, you know, at our stage, even pre-being engaged, mm-hmm. I would say, we had transitioned into the part of life where one of us would change for the other in a good way, like something, some health thing or life is where life would pull you apart. Mm-hmm. I feel like we would stay together and move together mm-hmm. with whatever happened.
Because you were bonded.
Right, right. But so, you know, at what point in a relationship does that happen? Because this seems to be happening before that. Mm-hmm. And so when you're before that transition, how do you make these calls? Because there's nothing here being like, there's no clear like, yep, probably time to break up. Or I would fight through it and stay together. So is it kind of like a, let's keep seeing how it goes? Or is there a way, you know, it's...
Yeah, what's interesting too, it's like if, you know, because they dated a decent amount of time. So it's like if they would have been married, would this have caused them to get divorced? Like, you know, we have... Life happens. We're going to get sick. We're going to lose family members. Like things are going to happen where we might, as we've put it, like you might have a season where you need more support and the other person falls to the side a little bit. Like that's just life. That's kind of how this stuff mm-hmm. happens. So if you guys would have been married, would you have not been able to help? And this would have teared you apart in that way. Like it is interesting to me because when you think about a partner and, you know, not everyone takes those vows and says the same thing, but it is kind of like in sickness and in health. Like, can you handle the lows?
Well, because that's what a long-term relationship is, the way, mm-hmm. either way.
Yeah. Or is she looking for a reason to get out?
Right.
It doesn't sound like it, though. Well, it sounds like she's trying to find a reason, like, and a way to make it work.
No one's forcing her to walk away.
Ideal outcome, we find a way to be together at some point, if not now.
I guess I'm just kind of confused, like, why they broke up. Like, and I know there's one line here where, you know, she says he couldn't show up for me the way I needed.
Right.
Well, one, what were you asking of him? And two, he's fighting gastrointestinal cancer. Like, cancer fucking sucks. So, no, he might not be able to show up for you right now. It might be the season where he needs the time, more energy and love. And, like, did you then, like, that you couldn't recognize that? Like, I guess I'm just kind of confused why it went so south.
Yeah, because health is number one.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a health problem,
if you don't take care
of your health problem, your relationships and everything else doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, because you're dead.
I'm looking at how deep this relationship really is. How deep is the relationship?
Yeah.
Because if it's a shallow end relationship and you're in the shallow end right now because he may need you and it's not something that you really want to do, then it's time to really, you know, allow it to go its separate way and move on. Look, relationships are timing for many reasons. But this could also be the most amazing relationship, even if he should not make it in future years. It may be the most important relationship or impactive relationship of your life. There might be a message here or something very special here that you're supposed to experience. Otherwise, maybe you've experienced it already and it's time to move on. We can't make that decision for you.
No.
Only you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I need to know a little more, but
yeah, for sure.
Otherwise it's like, yeah, I mean, this is the reality you're faced with right now. You kind of have to ask yourself, like, if this is the level of attention and effort I'm getting put into me, like, am I okay with it? And if you're not, like, yeah, you can be friends, but I wouldn't blur any lines. I would say you're there if you need to talk, but it might be best to limit.
Move on with your life. I need to move on with my life. But if you need me, I'm here for you. I care for you greatly.
Yeah.
It could be like he isn't doing enough and she does a ton for him. And there's something he could have easily made that had nothing to do with his health. But, you know, he chose to not call and say, like, check in, or he chose to not do this and he's pulling away.
Yeah.
It may not have to do with the health thing that could have started it. But we just don't know these little intricate details that would make this answer so much easier.
Yeah.
He could also be pushing her away because of the fact that he's sick.
Tough to respond to without kind of those intricate details. But I think a lot of the questions we're asking to get those details are questions you should ask yourself.
It'll prompt you to kind of know what you want and need more.
Yeah.
Okay. Off to Patreon.
Well, thanks for watching the show. And of course, we want to make sure you press the subscribe button.
Yeah.
And Patreon, I know we had some great Patreons last week. And I'm sure you have something very, very...
Always.
In for tonight.
Always.
So jump on over. We'll be at Patreon. Come visit. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.